Great. Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Excited to share with you a little bit about our work in the Dominican Republic, focused on some areas of disability and rehabilitation, to speak with you a little bit about our model of education and training internationally. So I have no relationships to disclose. The core purpose of Physicians for Peace is really focused on training, supporting, and empowering healthcare professionals that are working throughout the world with underserved populations. So we do this in a number of ways and in a number of areas. To know more about the Physicians for Peace model, I think will help you to understand the work that we do in the areas of disabilities. So we work with closely with in-country partners that have identified a need in training and education. These could be clinical units, these could be universities, other non-governmental organizations. And then we utilize international medical educators, which are volunteers, that have a particular area of expertise to conduct the training and education. And this is usually a long-term partnership. Many of our relationships with our partners are, 8 to 10 years in length and kind of an iterative process. So once one need is identified and training occurs, then another need usually comes up and we try to work to address those as well. So it's all about a focus on empowering the in-country healthcare professionals to feel like they can provide a better level of care for their patients, and also that they can go on and share the knowledge that they are learning in a kind of train-the-trainer effect. We try to focus on interdisciplinary training as well and integrating different disciplines so that they are communicating better with each other and providing the best care for the patients. To talk briefly about disabilities around the world, don't think this is any surprise to any of you, but over 1 billion people have some form of disability in the world, and the rates of disability are certainly increasing just due to our population shifts and demographics. And actually, the UN estimates that 80% of persons with disabilities live in developing countries. However, in most of these countries, this is really not a priority area for the ministries of health or the government. And so this is an area that we've really found is a kind of niche need. And so without that specified focus, there is a great gap in training and education in particular, but also in resources and in access to care. So that's one area that we work in. So we have a program called Walking Free that really is focusing on returning people to mobility that have suffered from any kind of traumatic accident or, stroke, cerebral palsy, any kind of diseases like that, that focuses on a kind of broad spectrum of rehabilitation and care. One area of that I'm going to talk more about in this talk in particular is our area working with prosthetics and orthotics in the Dominican Republic. But just to back up a little bit, as I said, we work very closely with in-country partners. And so in the Dominican Republic, we established a partnership in 2001 with a clinic there called Asociación Dominicana de Rehabilitación. I don't speak Spanish. That was my best attempt. So I'm going to call it ADR from here on out. And we were brought to ADR with a request from them that said, we really feel like we're doing a great service to the people of the Dominican Republic, but we want to take it further. We want to better integrate our services and better reach outside of the capital city of Santo Domingo. And, is there a way that Physicians for Peace can help us kind of bolster this education and training in our various disciplines? So that is exactly what we set forth to do. ADR has been a fantastic partner with us over the past 12 years. They've been very invested, and they have certainly brought a lot to the table. This is actually their 50th year as an organization, and they now have 26 different centers throughout the Dominican Republic to better serve those lying in outlying areas. So some of the key partnership accomplishments in these 12 years have been the establishment of academic programs. This is actually the first degree program for physical and occupational therapy in the country, which has been very successful so far and has already graduated a few classes. And again, this kind of just adds to the multidisciplinary approach that we've taken in trying to integrate services better. Our relationship began with an emphasis on collecting and donating essential supplies and equipment. Now we've kind of moved along a continuum so that we are still supplying some of that, but ADR is really providing a lot of the funding resources for those materials now as well, which has been a great kind of move towards a greater level of sustainability in the country. And then, again, clinical training and areas of focus for prosthetics, orthotics, physical, and occupational therapy. We've also really tried to bring together the different rehabilitative centers in both the Dominican Republic and Haiti so that there's just more communication and collaboration across what different centers and clinical entities are doing across the island of Hispaniola. So to touch briefly on the need for P&O education, it was estimated that as of 2010, 30 million people would be in need of P&O devices. However, there's definitely a shortage of P&O providers globally, particularly in these developing countries. So it's estimated that no more than 400 people graduate each year for P&O programs in the developing world, and over 75% of developing countries have no P&O education program. So this was a real challenge and a real gap that we saw. The primary technicians that we were working with in the Dominican Republic had a base knowledge and basically had just been brought in to work in the clinic and trained by those who were already there. So it was not necessarily a formal education, but it was just more learning this craft. So the International Society for Prosthetics and Orthotics and the World Health Organization came together to develop some guidelines for this kind of education to try to put some better structure in place for practices around the world. So this original collaboration started in 1990, so it's really pretty young, and then revisions have been made in 2005. So there are now guidelines for training personnel in developing countries for prosthetic and orthotic services, and we certainly use that in our work to try to continue best practices around the world. So there are three different categories that the ISPO and the World Health Organization determined were appropriate. These range from categories 1 to 3 and range from full prosthetist orthotist to just prosthetist orthotic technicians. So each of these come with different levels of curriculums and different levels of educational commitment. And certainly most developing countries are focusing on category 2 and category 3 level education at this point in time. So a few years ago, ADR really decided that they were ready to invest in further education for their P&O technicians and came to Physicians for Peace eager to know what our experience had been with different education programs and curriculums in P&O. Truthfully, we had never entered into a curriculum-based program in this field. And so we went looking for what was out there, what was available. But we had a few restrictions, and those primarily were that these technicians needed to stay in the Dominican Republic, needed to work full-time while they were getting an education, needed to stay there and provide for their families. And so we really started looking at what the options were for any kind of distance learning education or opportunities that were, you know, not the traditional educational model. So fortunately, the University of Don Bosco in El Salvador had a distance learning education program that was endorsed by the International Society of Prosthetics and Orthotics and offered category 2 level training. So this seemed like a very good approach to try for these technicians. And ADR was very committed and agreed to set up a certain amount of funding for the technicians' education. Physicians for Peace was very committed and agreed to also provide some hands-on training to complement the online modules and really continue with our Physicians for Peace model of hands-on training along with theoretical approaches. So we really embarked on this blended learning approach. So it was not just the online learning model, but really was bringing together the two components to see how this would work. So as I said, it's a Category 2 certification program, and it consists of 5 modules. It could take anywhere from 2 to 3 years. Our experience has been closer to 3 years just because of, again, these technicians are working full-time and then they're doing the coursework on their own. And we also have to build in time for quizzes and tests that they take regularly as well as the hands-on training. So the hands-on training is usually 1 to 2 weeks in length per module. So at the end of the online module, we have our international medical educators go in and provide the intensive hands-on training, answer questions that have come up, work with them very closely for that time period so that they have a better grasp of the hands-on aspects. There is an in-country UDB graduate who is actually not in Santo Domingo, but is in the north of the country, but is a very helpful resource for them that they are able to communicate constantly with, which is very helpful. And then the University of Don Bosco provides the examiners that come to the Dominican Republic for each module to provide those exams. So we've completed the fifth module, but we're in the period between the end of the fifth module and the final exam as we speak. So we just had a site visit to begin conducting an evaluation of how this blended learning approach has gone. That site visit just happened in September, so I don't have much data to share at this point, but just wanted to highlight what this evaluation entails and that we're really excited about seeing what comes out of it. What are the successes? What are the areas where it's really been challenging? What would it take to replicate this in another country? And is there more opportunity to continue it in the Dominican Republic? So to date, some of our successes and challenges and lessons learned that I wanted to highlight were that it really is important for technicians to have some degree of prior work experience in order to be successful. We had about 11 technicians begin this program, and to date we have 7 that are eligible to take the final exam. So the 4 that were not able to continue on didn't have the background information necessary, didn't do well with the online coursework, or were unemployed by ADR because of other reasons. So it's been an interesting lesson learned for what the kind of actual prerequisites should be for this kind of education program and for success. It's challenging to balance work, school, and life. Most of these technicians are parents, are family members that have a lot of other commitments and are trying to do both their normal workload and school on top of that, which is a challenge. As I said, our program is looking closer to 3 years, so we've had some challenges with keeping everything timely in terms of when the examiners are available to travel down to the Dominican Republic, when our IMEs are available to do the training, when the technicians are available within ADR schedule. Just making all those align can be a challenge at times, but nothing that can't be overcome. Consistent and reliable access to internet has been an interesting challenge. We have had periods of time where wireless and internet access at ADR has not been available, so the technicians have really had to go on their own to seek out internet in other locations. Many of them do not have it in their home, and it can be quite an effort to access the internet to continue with their schoolwork. They really seem to enjoy and thrive on the hands-on training by the trusted international medical educators. We really have a core team of about 5 international medical educators that have seen them through this entire training, which has been really beneficial. That consistency and the building of that trusting relationship has been really important. And again, the kind of tri-partnership model has worked really well, but it's essential to have buy-in from each of those in order to make this successful. So again, we're really looking forward to learning what the evaluation outcomes are and to sharing that with the larger International Society of Prosthetic and Orthotic community, because people are very curious to see how this blended approach has worked. In other countries, they've done solely the distance learning approach, and then others have done the seated learning approach at the University of Don Bosco in El Salvador, so it'll be interesting to compare across those experiences. So thank you very much, and I look forward to questions and discussion afterwards.